Good morning, and welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. I want to say a special word of thanks to Brad Zimmerman, who is filling in for Lenora this morning. Thank you for being here this morning, Brad. And no, our musical team is not on strike today. The way this worked out was our music director, Ryan, is at a music conference this weekend. That was planned. And Ken Rimmert was going to take Ryan's place. That was also planned. But what was not planned was Ken tested positive for the coronavirus. And so that took both him and Lenora off the roster for the week. So they are presently in a quarantine at their home. So thanks again, Brad, for being here with us this morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors to sign. And please be reminded the Christian Beliefs program will be held for 5 Thursday mornings from 11 o'clock to noon, beginning this Thursday, February the 3rd, and that will go until March 3rd. If you'd like to attend that, please let Pastor Dennis know. And also note that many of our fellowship events, including our monthly fellowship lunches, are once again on hold with the increased number of coronavirus cases here in the area. And we will kind of wait and see how the nation and our part of the country fares before we make final plans for the upcoming Lenten and Easter seasons. We will, however, have an Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, March 2nd at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Also, please make note of the announcements in your bulletin concerning upcoming meetings, choir rehearsals, and also items needed for the church's food pantry that serves folks in need throughout the Northland area. All right, would all those who are able please stand for the call to worship? Praise the Lord, you servants of the Lord, praise his name.
His name will be praised now and forever.
From the east to the west, praise the name of the Lord.
The Lord rules over all nations.
His glory is above the heavens. Would you please join in singing our opening hymn, number 5 in your hymnal, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. We'll sing all stanzas, number 5. We bow for a moment of prayer. Oh God, we are grateful once again for the privilege to gather in your house in person in worship this morning. We always find comfort being in this familiar and safe place with those we consider our brothers and sisters in Christ. We also enjoy seeing visitors among us, and we welcome them also as brothers and sisters and friends. Lord God, we seek the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit moves among us here in the house of our Lord this morning. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Love my littles and the thumbs up. We did this during, for those of you who don't know, we did this during their Christmas program because I couldn't always yell at them loud enough for them to hear me. So we did if you're doing a good job, we're going to do a thumbs up. They've kind of taken up the call to thumbs up here. Anyway, look who came to visit us. Oh, do you remember this guy? No, this is Rocky. His name's Rocky. Well, I don't know. Why's your name Troy? Because your mom and daddy named you Troy? I guess his mommy and daddy named him Rocky. He's Rocky Sock. He's from Tennessee. And he came to see us. Do you know why he came to see us today? Because I send him my newsletter things, and he read our newsletter, and he liked the idea of finding better ways, maybe not better, but new ways to celebrate God. For those of you who didn't read the newsletter, we celebrate God during Christmas. We celebrate during Easter. And the rest of the year, not so much. We kind of just go along doing the same old thing every Sunday. And so I decided, me and the kids, we're going to find different ways to celebrate God. Hopefully I can do that all the weeks of the year. We're going to see how that goes. This day, this Sunday, we're going to celebrate God. Say hi. Hi, Troy. He's not too sure about the sock thing. Hello. He's very nice. He's a little shy. He is. It says in our Bible, in Psalms, we're going to celebrate God by celebrating you, the children. It says in Psalms, children are a gift from the Lord. Did you know you were a gift? Your sister has a bow in her hair. She kind of looks like a gift this morning, doesn't she? He says that it says they are a reward from God to us. Also says that children, that we're all remarkably and wonderfully made. Did you know you were wonderfully made? Did you know God made you wonderful? I think so, too. I'll bet mom and dad think so, too. And grandpa and grandma, and probably lots of other people. So when we celebrate God, we celebrate you because you are special. God knew you before you were even born. Even you. Even the big kids. Before you were born, God knew you and made you wonderful and special. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to celebrate, I got to have something to celebrate with. So, please forgive me, Sunday school teachers. Look what we have. Take one. Do you know how to do it? Blow on it. Blow hard. Blow hard. Blow really, really hard. There you go. At least I didn't get the noisy ones. Should we have a little bit of a prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these children. Thank you for the wonderful people that they are. Help us to always guide them in your word and in your ways. Help us to every day celebrate you. Find glorious and wonderful ways to celebrate all that you are and all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this new week, may we please keep Tim and Kelly Jackson in our prayers. Tim will actually be undergoing surgery at Liberty Hospital tomorrow morning for the removal of the upper lobe of his right lung as a consequence of this non-small cell cancer. So please keep Tim in your prayers. We also lift up Lauren and Helen Kirby. Helen will undergo a treatment process for this bone marrow cancer that will also begin tomorrow. So, but we certainly do want to keep Helen in prayer as the rating of the cancer she has is on a scale of 1 to 6, 6 being the worst, she's at a 6. So please keep them in your prayers. Dolly Llewellyn was in the hospital for pneumonia and some heart concerns, but was able to return home yesterday. So she continues to be resting there. Doris O'Neill is at home dealing with pneumonia as we keep her in our prayers. We continue to lift up Rihanna Ralston, and also Perla Mora is home, cleared of the coronavirus, but going to kind of take a few more days off before she gets out and about. She also asked for prayers for her nephew, Mark Markley, and her friend, Patty Nelson. Also in Lisa and John White's family, we're remembering John's mother, Marilyn Crone. She's often here in the second service with us, but she was briefly hospitalized this past week, but is also now home. We also continue to remember Debbie Buzinski and Grace and Jean Kimberling, Jill Gregory, Val Stringer, certainly a number of other people that have been on our prayer list now for several weeks. May we bow our heads in prayer, please. Merciful and loving God, we rejoice in the privilege granted to us as we assemble in your house to offer you praise. For our praise to you centers our lives and helps us realize what is most important. And even though we may face many challenges and the world's circumstances are forever tenuous and changing, we are certain that your love for us is everlasting. For Christ, your Son and our Lord and Savior, lived among us that your great compassion may be demonstrated in the most intimate of ways. And as the psalmist declares in Psalm 103, verse 17, the steadfast love of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Surely each week springs forth a litany of trials as humanity is so often influenced by evil intentions. Yet as each day passes, we are always certain that your assurance and your great comfort are always near to us in spirit. For as the scriptures proclaim in Isaiah chapter 49, sing, heavens, shout for joy, earth, let the mountains burst into song. The Lord will comfort his people. He will have pity on us, his suffering people. And as Psalm 147 declares, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Thus, as each of us press forward with the task and responsibilities that lie before us each day, may we do so with a lightness of spirit and a spring in our step. For as Psalm 23, verse 6 tells us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For these truths and assurances, we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Written by Mary Lathbury in 1877, our communion hymn for this morning, Break Thou the Bread of Life, was originally written with the idea that the bread of life is the Word of God that is given to us through the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the first verse states, Beyond the sacred page I seek thee, Lord, my spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Yet even as this hymn has been used through the decades as a communion preparation hymn, we are mindful that each verse truly calls us to be drawn closer to Jesus, who offers us his peace, his truth, and his love. We sing all stanzas, please, of our communion hymn number 321, Break Thou the Bread of Life. As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. This means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Kim leads us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we pray that you would still our minds and quiet our hearts as we approach this communion table today. We ask that you would draw each one of us into ever closer fellowship with you as we partake together of the bread and wine in grateful remembrance of what you did for each one of us on Calvary's cross. Thank you for this holy sacrament, and may we never approach this communion table lightly. Help us to share this hope with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Generosity certainly has a way of compelling others to also be generous. And certainly this was demonstrated this past week here in Kansas City. For after the Buffalo Bills lost to the Chiefs last Sunday, on Twitter, Chiefs Kingdom Memes asked fellow Kansas City Chiefs fans to donate $13 as it commemorates the drive that tied the game with just 13 seconds remaining to the Patricia Allen Fund at the Children's Hospital in Buffalo, New York. As of this past Friday evening, when I last got the latest data that I was able to get, 18,300 Chiefs fans had donated a total of $413,500 to the hospital in demonstration of solidarity and good sportsmanship, as these funds will certainly benefit many children in the days to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, "You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Ruth Ann leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Lord, we thank you for another chance for us to meet together in your house of worship. Father, we believe in your holy word and pray that all the offerings given today are out of love. We experience your blessings and love every day. We experience that love knowing that God or Jesus freely gave his life for us. Bless the giver and the gift. Guide us to depart today and help us to spread your word in our everyday life. Amen.
God, we pray that this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Again, a one-liner for our scripture reading this morning as we are continuing this series of messages about the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. So again, Matthew 5, verse 4, the text for this morning, the second Beatitude. "Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted." May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, in the midst of sorrow over even our greatest losses, may we discover the joy and assurance that your comfort offers us. In Christ's name we give thanks for the privilege to worship your name and to study your word. Amen. In this second beatitude, the Greek word for one who mourns is actually the most acute word in the Greek language for one's most passionate lament over the loss of a loved one. It is that uncontrollable grief expressed by Jacob when he was told by his older sons, of course you know that it was a lie, that his beloved younger son, Joseph, was dead, torn to pieces by some wild animal, and all that remained was his bloodied cloak. As Genesis chapter 37, verse 34 tells us, Jacob tore his clothes in sorrow and put on sackcloth. He mourned for his son for a long time. This is the mourning also described in Luke chapter 8, verse 52, when Jesus is taken to the house of Jairus, whose beloved daughter had just died. Luke 8, verse 52 tells us, everyone was there crying and mourning for the child. And Mark 5, verse 38 tells us that there was such a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Now, mourning in biblical times was much more of an expressive response than it is often for people in our day. A seven-day period of mourning commenced after burial, which took place the day the person died. And mourners would remain in the family's house along with friends throughout that entire week. And if, in fact, the person was buried in a tomb, there was often in the tomb the back chambers is where the person's body was laid, but the front chamber was actually like a little waiting area, if you will. And the family members would actually reside in that first room day after day, mourning the loss of a dear loved one. Clothes were torn. Family members wore sackcloth and ashes sprinkled on the tops of their heads. How they managed to keep it out of their eyes, I'm not quite sure. You wonder about that. And sometimes even their heads would be shaved. And for noted leaders such as Moses and Aaron, mourning for everyone in the nation was a 30-day time period. I kind of wonder sometimes if that hadn't been the idea about a flag going down to half-mast, for a set number of days in memory of a particular leader. In so many ways, we like to avoid mourning in our society. We talk of people passing away rather than using the word deceased or that the person had died. But in truth, as each of us make our way through our human predicament, we all certainly do experience various levels of loss throughout our lives, no matter who we are and no matter what our circumstances are. Truth of the matter is, if you live long enough, you will experience significant losses along the way. And surely, among those chief is the loss of dear loved ones. But also there's the loss of jobs. Homes and businesses are lost to fire, floods, tornadoes, and hurricanes. There is the loss of health, the loss of happiness. The litany goes on to the point that for some folks there even seems to be a loss of hope. There is so much to mourn, our lives can be filled with such sorrow. Even as a nation or a society, we can feel such sorrow over a great sense of loss, a loss of camaraderie or cooperativeness, loss of principles, loss of morals, or loss of values that we hold dear. Even as Jesus is coming toward Jerusalem, in Luke chapter 19, verse 40, the text tells us that Jesus expresses a great sorrow as he predicts the coming destruction and loss of Jerusalem, which of course indeed did take place in 70 AD. In the text, verse 41 and onward tells us, he came closer to the city, and when he saw it, he wept over it, saying, if you only knew today what is needed for peace, but today you cannot see it. They will completely destroy you and the people within your walls. Not a single stone will they leave in its place, because you did not recognize the time when God came to save you. And as each of the Beatitudes also has a deep spiritual emphasis, and as I have mentioned in the last two previous messages, that emphasis for each of the Beatitudes certainly is the relationship that we have with God. What we understand in the second Beatitude is that Jesus is also emphasizing a mourning for the loss of one's deeply spiritual connection with God. For it is truly our sinfulness that so often separates us from the God who does indeed love us. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Through all of our losses, be they loss of loved ones, the loss of circumstances or belongings, the loss of hopefulness, or even the loss of our relationship with God, we hear people declare, "My heart is broken." Yet it is in this very state of brokenness that not only can God help us mend our broken hearts, but God's great comfort can also help us mend the brokenness of spirit that may reside in us as well. It is in our brokenness that we often discover what is really important in life, and we reestablish our priorities. The deeply felt loss of a loved one can inspire us to become all the more committed to our deeply devoted relationships with others. Material possessions and pursuits become so very unimportant, and spiritual values can become very important. A feeling of brokenness of spirit with God is what finally prompts us to repent, to turn around, to seek God's forgiveness, and to be reconciled to God in Christ our Lord. As Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, "Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation." The mourning, the sorrow over loss, is what prompts us to finally be receptive to the great comfort that our God is always willing to give us. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life." And in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "Fear not," God says, "I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And ultimately, the great comfort that we receive from God helps us to offer solace to others, and that solace renders hope. It is while God heals us from our own state of brokenness that we can help mend the hearts of others and offer hope for others with whom our paths cross. There was once a young teen named Douglas who, along with his family, received the word that he was suffering from leukemia. The medical community didn't sugarcoat the immense side effects he would experience as his body underwent treatment, as they hoped to save his life. There would be an immense loss of strength, likely making it difficult to engage in most of his routine activities. There would be isolation from friends and family to prevent infections. There was the possibility that the treatments wouldn't work and that death could be imminent. dreading all the potential loss, the sorrow, the mournfulness, Douglas found himself deeply depressed, and certainly his family members saw it. In hopes of cheering him up, his aunt sent an arrangement of goodies from a shop. She must have mentioned details concerning the gift to be sent. For when the arrangement arrived, there were two cards attached, the one from the aunt, and then a second card which stated, "Douglas, I took your order. I work at the shop from which your arrangement was sent. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I'm 22 now. Good luck. My heart goes out to you, Janice." And reading the second card gave Douglas comfort. It gave him hope. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." You see, our second beatitude, very brief one, but so very precise. It could be written possibly in this way. Remember, we said every beatitude begins with the expression that is one of excitement and vigor, as Jesus, as if he was shouting to the crowd, "Oh, the blessedness of the one." Here, the one who grieves over losses, for God surely gives great comfort. And we can add to that, that we may comfort others. So where are you in this journey of faith? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today can be your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and be a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." We'll sing all stanzas. It's number 576, please. The game this afternoon, right? So bless you all, and let's hope we have a wonderful afternoon and a good start to a great week. And may we offer a word of prayer. Lord God, your Spirit is with us day by day to grant us great comfort, even in the midst of life's greatest sorrows, so that we indeed may be a comforting guide to others. Guide us on that pathway and strengthen us day by day. and for the privilege to worship you this Lord's Day morning, we give thanks as we depart. Amen. And Brad, thank you so much for your assistance today, Brad. Thank you.